Little Hand says it's time to rock and roll.
Bring the noise.
Hasta la vista, baby.
Welcome to Earth.
We came, we saw, we kicked its ass.
Bong. James Bong.
Pop quiz, hot shot.
Your move, creep.
Get off my plane.
Get your ass to Mars.
I feel mean. The name's Earth.
I'm your huckleberry.
We see we cut the Kit Kat and haul.
Hey, motherfucker.
Hello and welcome to the Everything Action Cast, the podcast for January 25th, 2021. I'm your host, Zach, and joining me this week we have Chris.
Hello.
And let's jump right in. We have a ton of stuff to talk about this week, although we have to unfortunately kick things off with some sad news. We lost a couple of legends in like the world of entertainment and pop culture this week. So Larry King passed away over the last weekend. You know, not a lot of, like, movie. I mean, he did appear in a bunch of movies and stuff, but, like, usually just, like, he was very similar, like, Alex Trebek, who we lost recently as well, of, like, he, like, would just appear as himself if there was, like, some sort of, like, CNN thing in a movie or, like.
Some meta real world connection.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just, like, it's Larry King.
Mm-hmm. But, I mean, Larry King interviewed, like, you could name any person from, like, the last, like, what, like 3 or 4 decades, and he's interviewed them probably.
Yeah, like if it was someone of that was like, you know, popular or significance,
yeah,
he just interviewed them, which is like, oh, like eventually you just end up on the Larry King circuit.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's weird because I thought he didn't, he was still going to like 2014, but it's like, no, he stopped interviewing people in 2011.
Well, he ended his CNN show, and then he went to he had a streaming show, like Larry King Live was like his, like, and then also he had like a like politicking with Larry King, I think, but it was like a streaming network. I don't know what network it was on, but yeah, his CNN show ended in the mid 2010s or something, and then he started doing this like streaming show.
I didn't really watch a streaming show, but it's just like people will just show clips randomly, and it's like he had a very certain style, just
yeah,
him on a gossip desk.
Oh yeah,
asking questions.
So Larry King Live was the CNN show, and then Larry King Now was the streaming show, which that was up till like last year. So,
and did you watch a lot of Larry King?
I mean, I've seen like probably some random interviews here and there, but it was like I didn't like watch it regular or anything.
Yeah, I feel like more people learn about Larry King after like good interviews and people see highlights or different clips.
Yeah.
I didn't watch it a lot either because, you know, it's like it's definitely like a generation before us when those were like big, not like entertainment interviews, because Larry King interviews were just more like casual chatting, getting to like reveal something about some celebrity or political person, but
yeah.
never a like, hey, let me talk about this new movie, you know. It was just straight forward.
Mm-hmm. But I mean, even if you didn't watch Larry King, like you, like if he appeared in something, you knew it was, like instantly, like he was so like iconic. It's just like, as far as like his look and his voice stuff, like you knew it was him.
Larry
like,
King, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm surprised Larry King didn't do a lot of things with like marketing himself. Like, there was no Larry King like, clothesline.
Yeah.
Suspenders, Larry King, just like office supplies. Like he was very like. I mean, he started as, like, a radio DJ, like, a shock
yeah.
jock,
mm-hmm.
and he just slowly became a, like, respected interviewer. Like, mm-hmm. he kind of was, like, almost like an earlier podcast person in radio and journalism. In the sense where he just became, like, what basically interview podcasts just mimicked Larry King formula.
Yeah.
Because it just cuts out all the middleman, cuts out the, like, filler or advertisements, just straight to, like, hey, like... Tell me about your childhood. Like, oh, all right. And tell me about your favorite, like, you know, restaurant in New York. Like, oh, like, just those kind of softball questions. And then I guess the thing is, like, Larry King's, like, style was very, like you had to work your way up to get to Larry King. He wasn't just like, oh, it's your first time being a celebrity? Like, get on Larry King.
Yeah.
Definitely was a an honor to be on his show sometimes. Did you ever see that, like, Seinfeld thing that him and Larry had, where it's like, people can't tell if it was, like, a joke or it was just, like, ribbing on each other?
Was there, like, a, like, like a Kirby Enthusiasm thing or something?
No. It was, like, the real, like, his, one of his famous Jerry Seinfeld, Larry King interview was they were, like, they're asking, like, kind of, like, aggressive questions back and forth to each other.
I don't know. I didn't see that.
Yeah, it's like Seinfeld had to clarify it, like, after Larry King's death. They were like, hey, you ever regret being mean to Larry King? He's like, I wasn't mean. So, yeah, like, I always thought Larry King, like, he's just one of those guys that you didn't think would just go away. Like, he was like Casey Kasem. He was just like an American staple.
Yeah. Like Regis or El Shebeck, now Larry King, they're all the like the iconic TV guys are.
We need to protect Pat Sajak. We just need him protected now.
Yeah.
And the original Who Wants to Be a Millionaire lady.
Well, I mean, oh,
the second lady, like whatever, the British lady.
Wasn't it wasn't like the Weakest Link lady, was it?
Oh no, yeah, you're right. No, sorry, Weakest Link.
Yeah.
Whatever happened to her?
I don't know. But we also unfortunately lost Cloris Leachman this past week as well. Legendary Oscar-winning actress.
I knew her more in comedies, and it's.
Well, I mean, she was in like everything. Like, name a TV show, she was probably on it. Like, tons of voice acting. But, like, yeah, going all the way back to, like, the 40s, like, she started in, like, 1949 and then went all the way up to, like, I mean, probably still stuff that she's been in that hasn't come out yet, so.
She stacked the deck of, like, just, she'll be in anything, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think I remember her episode on, like, Scooby-Doo, like, on there, or, like, Don Knox.
I mean, just name a show, and then she was probably she was at least on one episode of it at some point, probably.
It's definitely one of my favorite characters comes to mind is Beerfest, only because I've seen that movie like a lot more.
Young Frankenstein was a big one, obviously. Mm-hmm. I mean, recently she was on American Gods, and also Justice League Action. She was on as Granny Goodness. I saw one. She was so like I think it was like this. I think this was like a season 2 episode, but like for one like the first. I think it was the first episode she was on. Then like the rest of the episodes, it was like I think it was probably just like Tress MacNeille or someone. But like for The Simpsons, she was like Mrs. Glick for like one episode, like the Three Men in a Comic Book episode, or like Bart Mills and. Martin by like the Radioactive Man number 1, but then Mrs. Glick was just like I think just like one of the other like one of the main voice actresses for like the rest of the show. Oh yeah, she was Granny in the Beverly Hillbillies movie.
Oh my god,
that was a big one. I watched that a ton when I was a kid.
They made her look even older.
Yeah,
I forgot that was her.
I mean, she was in Beavis and Butt-Head to America.
She was? As who?
Old woman on plane and bus.
Alright.
Yeah. Oh, Milk in the Middle. That was another big one.
She was the grandma in Malcolm in the Middle.
Yeah, she was like the very mean grandma. She was in the Oogie Loves movie.
Oh my god.
That just proves like her like just like like she will show up anywhere and do anything. Like,
wasn't Oogie Loves like a British thing?
Well, I think it was trying to be like Teletubbies or something, but it's the lowest opening movie of all time. Like, it made, like, $1,000 or something that's opening weekend. So it's a very infamous flop now. But yeah, somehow that movie got Cloris Leachman and Christopher Lloyd and Janie Presley. That was the human cast of
The
Oogie Loves. Oh yeah, $443,000 was the opening weekend of Oogie Loves.
They couldn't even get. I mean, it's good that she got paid.
Yeah.
But Cloris Leachman, she did a lot of comedy roles in her later years. I didn't ask her if she did anything like dramatic, because you know some comedians.
Last Picture Show from like the 70s. Oh no, 71. That was very dramatic. I think probably in like maybe like into like the 90s. Well, I mean, she was on the Mary Tyler Moore Show in the 70s, so that was obviously comedy. But I think probably like toward the end of the, like going into like the end of the 80s into the 90s, I think that's when she like just totally switched over to like comedy, I think probably. If you look at most of like her like credits after 1990, it's mostly comedy stuff. But definitely like earlier in like into like in like the like early 70s and before that, it was probably more like dramatic stuff.
Yeah, everyone kind of like did dramas back then. It was a very dramatic time in the 70s.
But yeah, her Oscar was for Best Supporting Actress in Last Picture Show, so. But yeah, super, super long career, just legendary actress, so RIP to both her and Larry King. So, moving on to other news, probably the biggest news of the last week or so, is that we finally got the first trailer for Godzilla vs. Kong, which is coming your way in March on HBO Max and theaters. Probably the biggest HBO Max, like, of the like the first gigantic HBO Max movie of 2021
with Wonder Woman barely.
Well, that was last year. I'm talking like this crazy audacious like we're gonna release all of our 2021 movies
I heard that like some companies were like, what's happening? Like, where's our movie going?
Oh yeah, like in the week or two after like they announced that, like they were just like bombarded with like lawsuits and like people would just be like, "Fuck you, Warner Brothers!" Like,
you said theaters.
And Legendary was actually one of them. Legendary, who is like one of the co-producers on, in like this, like basically co-made Godzilla vs Kong with them, was like, guys, like this is you didn't talk to us at all about this." But I guess Warner Bros. And Legendary worked out some sort of deal, so like they're cool with Godzilla vs. Kong now.
Yeah,
I think Dune is still up in the air. Like Dune might be like taken off the HBO Max deal possibly. Like they're still trying to work out the deal with that because like Denis Villeneuve is like very, very mad about Dune being on HBO Max.
Well, I feel like there's a degree of like we wanted to be cinematic. And we want this to be in theaters only, but then there's like no one's gonna see this movie anytime soon, so get it out now.
Yeah, I don't like theaters probably won't be widely open in March when this comes out, but like man, like Godzilla vs. Kong is a movie you need to see on like a gigantic IMAX screen or something because it'll hopefully probably be pretty cool still at home, but like. It needs to be on the biggest possible screen you can possibly see it on.
Hopefully.
Maybe in March. Maybe a miracle will happen. And things will be like better in March. But yeah, as far as first trailer goes, pretty awesome trailer. Lots of looks like epic kaiju action going on. Evil Godzilla, like Godzilla's gone crazy.
I did hear a theory that this isn't the first Godzilla. Like, this is actually another Godzilla.
Well, I've, like, based on, like, people have done screenshots, and there's, like, it seems like it's pretty much, like, there's one screenshot that basically seems like it confirms it, but, like, the theory I've seen, and, like, I kind of believe, is, like, this Godzilla that's going crazy is Mechagodzilla.
Oh, like, he's actually, like underneath? Yeah.
Like, well, because, like, in the, like, the original Mechagodzilla had, like, a Godzilla skin on top of it, and everyone's just like, oh my god, it's Godzilla! And then, but it's like, when you, like, yeah, blasted by, like, real Godzilla, like, it revealed, like, his metallic skin underneath, so that could be a similar situation here, like, where, like, someone, like, has, like, put some sort of, like, organic Godzilla skin over a Mechagodzilla.
Okay, that's a good theory.
Because there's one shot where I believe it's, like, people were saying, like, it's, like, it's the character's, like, Ken Watanabe's character's son or something. But he's, like, in front of, like, a screen that is, like, showing, like Godzilla stats.
Yeah, yeah, he's, like, looking at him like a Power Ranger thing.
Yeah, it's saying, like Mechagodzilla recharging or something in recharging. And there's, like, the very first shot of, like, when you see, like, of God, like, there's, like, this, like, pretty, like, clip that's, like, you're supposed to assume it's Godzilla, but it's got, like, really, like, red, like, weird, like, electronic red highlights on it, and, like, the snout is, like, very, like, more square than Godzilla's snout. So there's definitely a couple shots. Like, Mechagodzilla's gonna be in this movie at some point. It's just a matter of, like, is it gonna be, like, Mechagodzilla the entire time, or is Mechagodzilla gonna be, like, the ultimate threat that, like, Kong and Godzilla have to, like, team up to stop or something?
Yeah, yeah. Some people did say that basically there would be a definite winner, but it's like, okay, so maybe Kong kills, like, I could see that. Godzilla, like, the Godzilla that attacks Kong is, like, another Godzilla. Kong kills this one.
Yeah.
Gets resurrected as Mechagodzilla. The real Godzilla shows up, and it's just like, have you seen, like, this other Godzilla? And then they beat the shit out of Mechagodzilla.
I don't think there's gonna be, like, another Godzilla. Godzilla's, like, the only Godzilla. Like, I don't think there's gonna be, like, another Godzilla, like, evil Godzilla or something, but...
Who knows?
Maybe Kong will kill Mechagodzilla or something, and then be like, and then, like, real Godzilla will show up and be like, good, you killed my like
my evil twin
imposter or whatever. But I mean, yeah, looks like tons of just, like, crazy like they're fighting on top of an aircraft carrier, like it's a fucking boxing match, and then, like, it looks like there's gonna be some sort of crazy scene, like Hong Kong or Tokyo or something. It's all neon.
I think that's Tokyo, just featured.
Yeah,
like, Kaiju Tokyo.
Like that throws off, like, super Pacific Rim vibes.
Oh yeah, that's another thing. It's like, I already seen the idea at Pacific Rim, and I like it, so I'm all aboard some of the structure behind having awesome fights and, like, big ass scenes. You know, like,
yeah,
I'm down for that. However. I can also see this going south for some reason while the humans do all the talking about dumb stuff.
Yeah, I really hope they fix that, because that was the biggest issue of King of the Monsters, was just, like, all this human plot that was so stupid of, like, they introduced, like, a villain in Charles Dance who didn't do anything, and then, like, everything Vera Farmiga was doing, and, like, the, like, whatever that, like, the, like, what's it, like, the, like, Kaiju, like sound machine or whatever they made. and also just the fact that, like, every fight was, like, obscuring, like, clouds and lightning, because it's like Ghidra, like, makes, like, is, like, surrounded by a hurricane the entire time. Like, he like generates his own hurricane, so, like, every fight was just, like, obscured in, like, smoke and, like, wind and darkness.
Like, I think this is a cool fight. I just think the camera sucks.
Yeah, which I mean, the fights we've received so far in this trailer for Godzilla vs Kong looks like that. There's none of that. Like, it looks like it's gonna be some very clear, hopefully awesome kaiju fights. And Godzilla, I mean, King Kong has an axe that he's like they showed, like, because, like, they obviously announced, like, some of the toys and stuff they're going along with this movie. I think that, like, the Kong toy seems to reveal, like, reveal that, like, the blade of Kong's axe is actually, like, a Godzilla, like, back spine scale.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's how it's like able to like reflect Godzilla's like beam.
See, that just tells me that basically there is like possibly two Godzillas, like, or there was something like that, you know?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, Godzilla's like, you just ripped a scale out. It's like, okay, like, you think that's like a something that could just happen? Like, he sheds a scale?
Well, again, like, if you go all the way back to, like, Terror of Mechagodzilla, like, when Mechagodzilla was, like, covered in, like, Godzilla, like, skin and stuff, like, he was basically indistinguishable from Godzilla.
Hmm. All right.
So yeah, I think that's probably a good workaround for them to be like, oh, they're both like winners or whatever. Like they're gonna Mechagodzilla is gonna be like the ultimate villain of this movie. They're gonna have to like team up to stop him or something. Although there's also like other like weird like there's like smaller like bat kaijus or something. And it, like there's this whole thing about like, oh, the kaiju war that happened like thousands of years ago.
Oh, like what? What determined like the king of that monster thing?
Yeah,
like, maybe they'll do like a dumb, weird flashback where they do like how the monsters roamed the earth.
Yeah, well, I feel like they're saying like so there was like a war. Like, was there like a bunch of Godzillas and a bunch of Kongs, and like so like the Kongs and the Godzillas are like mortal enemies or something?
Maybe it's like lizards and reptiles, like we don't like that.
Yeah, warped into apes and lizards or whatever. And they're the only two left.
See, it's like, another thing I'm a little bit curious about is how Khan grew, because apparently from Skull Island to now, he just got bigger.
Well, I think so. In Skull Island, they said he was just like a toddler or something, or like an adolescent, like a child. So like it was like the 70s or whatever. So like it's been 40 years or so since Skull Island. So he was able to grow up like to like however many feet tall to face off against Godzilla.
I'm still down for it, you know.
Yeah, I'm very excited. I just hope King of the Monsters like also had like amazing trailers and it was kind of disappointing. So hopefully this is like undoes a lot of the like mistakes of King of the Monsters. Yeah, and hopefully it leans more toward like a Pacific Rim style thing.
Yeah, like, Pacific Rim, the first movie, is such a great, like, template for a monster movie.
Yeah.
And they just went the wrong direction for King of the Monsters, because, like, yeah, fight, and just, like, and they're flying away. Like, what's going on?
Yeah, like we're gonna, like, be, like, looking up and, like, barely be able to tell, because we're in Antarctica or whatever, so it's snowing, but then also Ghidorah's here and he's making a hurricane, so it's like it's a snow hurricane lightning storm that you can't see anything happening in.
But trust us, it's cool.
Yeah, and then they just completely just like all like it's just like nothing made sense. Like Mothra like sacrificed herself and made Godzilla like fire Godzilla, and then Rodan was just like Ghidorah's like bitch henchmen and stuff. It's just like, what is going on? And there's a dozen other random kaiju that did nothing.
Just
like around.
Yeah, how is that not a threat to like everyone else? Like Godzilla's the king because he just like,
yeah, and they all bowed to him at the end. So,
oh my god,
remember that? Except Kong bows to no one. So. Yeah, but I will definitely be watching it. If theaters are not open, I will definitely be watching this like day of on HBO Max. And speaking of Kong Skull Island stuff, kind of to go along with it, Netflix is developing an anime series based on Skull Island, which I guess would be set between Skull Island and Godzilla vs. Kong. Or maybe a prequel to, like, even Skull Island or something.
You know what's weird, though? I just realized how many companies have, like, a share in this Kong renaissance. Like, Japan, Toho in Japan have an agreement And then I guess, like, Legend and Warner. Legendary and Warner Brothers have an agreement. And then it's, like, dueling Kong stuff that just are not connected, you know? It makes sense if, like, there was a Kong movie, I mean, like, a Godzilla movie and King Kong movie on Netflix because, you know, of the Shin Godzilla series that, like, was produced.
Yeah.
And just, like, God help you if you want to watch all the Godzilla things in one sitting. Or, like, you know, just want to, like, you know, kind of, like, do a Disney Plus style of, like, just watch everything Godzilla related. You got to have, like, four different types of streaming services.
Well, the Skull Island anime series is going to be made by Powerhouse Animation, who brought us Castlevania and Blood of Zeus. So already, like, 10,000 thumbs up for that. And then, yeah, it's apparently a crew of a ship gets shipwrecked at Skull Island, and there's, like, have to, like, face off against monsters and Kong. So it's good. It'll be, it doesn't really say, like, when it'll, like, if this is, like, pre-Skull Island or post-Skull Island, but I guess it could be any time before or after that. Because obviously they left, Kong was still on Skull Island when they left Skull Island in Skull Island, so. Like, it seems like they only recently captured him in Godzilla vs. Kong, so.
Yeah, and just been roaming around.
But I guess, some new crew of people gets, like, shipwrecked in Skull Island. They have to survive against the monsters and King Kong himself.
I mean, does King Kong, this version, you think he's friendly, or is he more like Skull Island Kong, where he's, like, still a dick?
Well, I wonder if this is going to be before or after, like, the little girl who can, like, communicate with him. Because that's also what they revealed in the trailer. Is like, there's a little girl who has, a psychic link to King Kong. But it will be in the MonsterVerse. So it is somewhere in the continuity of Godzilla, Skull Island, Godzilla vs. Kong, all that stuff. So. But yeah, I mean, pretty much anything by Powerhouse Animation at this point, like, just, yeah, like, we'll watch it. Like, Castlevania's awesome. I haven't seen Blood of Zeus yet, but I've heard it's awesome.
Me too. So I've heard that it's worth watching, and I'm just like, one day, we'll talk about this.
We'll talk about another anime series coming to Netflix in a second here, but we got another trailer this week, which was the first... they're calling it a date announcement trailer, so it's not really a full trailer. It's more than a teaser, I would say, but, like, it's a minute of Mighty Ducks Game Changers, which is the return of the Mighty Ducks franchise as a Disney Plus show, with Emilio Estevez back as Gordon Bombay.
Oh, yeah, and he's just, like, he's Hans now.
Yep, pretty much. He runs, like, he's running, like, a rundown old ice rink, and the Ducks are the bad guys now. The Ducks are the elite youth hockey team in Minnesota or whatever town this is set in.
Looks like Canada, just kind of like cold and wet it is.
I mean, I think it's also Minnesota. So, yeah. the main kid doesn't get on the Ducks because he's not good enough. So then his mom, played by Lauren Graham, decides to make their own team and get all the, like, kids who didn't get into the Ducks on the team. So, and then they get Gordon Bombay to coach them. And so it's like Gordon's going to go against his old team, against the Ducks, and, like lead this new team.
Do you think that he was, like, he used to lead that version of the Ducks, or you think this is just his, like, post lawyering hockey career? No, this is his post lawyering because he became a full-fledged lawyer in D3.
So one he was a lawyer, but he had to coach Ducks because of his DUI. It was like his community service. And then two, they went to the fake Olympics,
the youth Olympics.
Yep.
And then he left to pursue his, like, he wanted to be like a full athlete or something.
Did he leave because he wanted to be
He was the minor league or something like that at the end.
Or was that in two? Was that in two?
That's in two.
Wasn't that the start of two where like he got like hacked in the leg by like wasn't the coach to Iceland like hacked him in the leg?
That was his weak spot. That was just something they just always had. But no, at the end of two, he gets on the bus because he's like, all right, I'm going to do it for tryouts. You inspire me to play hockey again.
Yeah.
But I couldn't figure out if it was like major leagues or minor leagues. He just leaves.
Two starts out when he's trying out to be in the minor leagues for a team that like if you did good on the minor league team you might get a shot at, like the NHL.
I see.
But then he got hacked in the knee and then had to go back to Minneapolis. And then I think in three he was suspected of being a lawyer again because he came and like represented the Ducks when they were about to get kicked out of like
school because of fraud. I forgot. Okay, we're gonna get into a little bit, but it's like most of them got in because of a scholarship.
Yeah, they got a scholarship because they won the Goodwill Games.
And then some of them actually were like their parents went or something. It's like you had to be like grandfathered in. It was something weird. It was something dad went.
Every single Duck had a scholarship or something. So
it was a high school, I think, right?
Yeah, it was a private prep school.
My God, I always thought that was like a college, and I was like in high school. I was like, what the fuck? Like, I could have been like these are like high school kids.
Because it was also like a boarding school because there was just dorms and stuff.
So, I mean, it's cool that it's going back to basics, but then we get the, it's like two humble beginnings of the Game Changer storyline, where it's just like a bunch of randos.
Yeah.
Who, honestly, I think Gorham Bombay doesn't really do much. I feel like it's just like the mom. She's leading the new thing. She's inspiring like everyone else. Now, I don't know if anyone else from the main movies is going to, like, show up to help or, like, have a kid, you know, like, oh, that's my son. That's why he can do the knuckle puck or something.
I mean, looking at, like, the IMDb page, it doesn't look like it.
Right. That's a completely new cast of randos.
Yeah, maybe they'll be, like, a surprise cameo or something. Like, oh, like,
I forget. I just know like Goldberg, the goalie, he the real actor, his life like did not. He made some bad choices later in life.
So yeah,
he's not showing up.
Yeah.
Kean Thompson, maybe he can show up.
is he too big for it now? Because he's in SNL. He's like an SNL veteran now. So
I don't know.
Joshua Jackson, would he come back?
Actually, that'd be one bad. He's just like, hey, you do anything? You want to be in this Mighty Duck movie?
Get pull Eldon Henson away from Daredevil. Like from the he's not in Daredevil anymore. There's no Daredevil anymore, so he can come back. That was so. Wasn't that weird when like fucking Fulton Reed was like a lawyer on Daredevil? Now he was like
your Daredevil's shaggy
friend. Yeah, who knows? Someone will come back. Maybe there'll be a cameo. I kind of hope this like hopefully my hope would be that this is like a Cobra Kai style show. Just judging from the trailer and like judging from like because it's Disney, I don't think it's gonna have like that same sort of like because Cobra Kai has like some edge and stuff. Like people get like horribly injured and like Johnny's like just like reaming out kids and stuff. So. Like I don't think Gordon Bombay is gonna be calling people pussies or anything like that. Or like putting kids.
I don't know. Like, imagine torturous. If he was like really.
He's back in the wagon. He's like
very aggressive.
Yeah. I would tell you about that DUI I got.
You don't know half the story. There were hookers and blow.
But yeah, I think that's gonna. I think it's gonna be. Oh, yeah, I think it's. Is it March 26th? I think was the date on that trailer. Pretty sure that's what it was. Let me load up the. I'm loading up the Everything Action Facebook page. yeah, March 26th is when it's that's gonna be on Disney Plus. So. And I'm assuming it's going to be the same Disney Plus like release schedule where it's going to be like one episode a week. So, and I think the first season is going to be 11 episodes. So yeah, and then I think all the Mighty Ducks movies are up on Disney Plus right now. If you want to like refresh yourself on those before this show starts,
watch the full Mighty Duck trilogy.
Yeah. And then watch is the Mighty Ducks cartoon on Disney Plus yet?
I don't know who owns the right to that.
I mean, Disney owns the rights to that. I mean,
well, I'm saying like I don't know what's taking them so long.
I mean every other like Toon Disney slash like Disney Afternoon show is on there, right? So. Oh yeah, yeah. It's been on Disney Plus since it launched. So yeah, you can watch all three Mighty Ducks movies and then watch the like completely unrelated insane Mighty Ducks animated series.
A weird tie-in that really isn't.
Where the alien ducks from another planet come and fight evil aliens and also like Moonlight as a hockey team. I think was it Tim Curry the main bad guy on that show?
Yep.
He was like the main like alien emperor or whatever.
It's weird because like humans were just down with them being real ducks.
Yeah. No one. I can't remember because it's been like two decades since I've seen this show. But like, were they like I can't remember if they were like if they. Were like a gimmick or like, oh, it's like they're dressed up like ducks and they're a hockey team, or if they're just like, oh yeah, these like giant ducks are here and they're playing hockey. Like
I think their manager knew that they were like aliens and everyone else was like, that's their gimmick.
They like they're dressed up like ducks, but they actually can play hockey.
But they solved like other crime besides alien things invading. Like I think they stopped a bank robbery.
Oh yeah, yeah, they like stopped a bunch of like random crime, I think, along with like trying to stop like this alien emperor from like taking over Earth or whatever.
I mean, the opening episode is pretty badass because it's like who you think is like the main hero gets like killed. Oh,
yeah, that's pretty nuts.
And his
like
duck mask goes to his brother.
Yeah, who's like I'm not worthy of this. Like,
ugh. And then it was the year where like you killed off your fake protagonist. I remember like Power Rangers also had like a similar opening. Power Rangers like Lost Galaxy or in one of those, it was like the main Red Ranger dies and his brother becomes the next one.
Yeah. Was it also like one of the Mighty Ducks, like the animated Mighty Ducks, like wasn't he like a traitor to the ducks or something? Or he was he probably wasn't a traitor, but like he was like some sort of like criminal or thief or something. Just like
he was a thief
who like just like snuck aboard their ship and just like, well, I'm here now.
Well, because it was like a civil war on the duck planet or something, and they all had a band together and became an army. Yeah. I remember that. It was like he had the scar. He had like the purple suit and he had like a sword
and like an eye patch.
It was just like the bad guy attire.
Yeah.
I think he was a criminal that was like he just was on. Their team.
He was like Dr. Smith on like Lost in Space, where it's just like, I'm the bad guy. I can betray you at any time, but for now I'll help you.
But then when you're like another planet, it's like, well, I mean, what's he gonna betray him to? Like other humans? Like,
yeah,
not really a great plan.
Anyway, I don't think the Mighty Ducks animated series is going to tie into Mighty Ducks Game Changers.
No. Can you imagine if they did? Like somehow there's just like a Howard the Duck S sequence.
I would. Oh god, I would like even if they just like if the like mascot for the new like bad ducks team is like one of the Mighty Ducks from the animated show. Like, it's like the leader with like his gold mascot and stuff.
Oh my god. Man,
that'd be amazing.
Or Coach Bombay, like, he takes off his jacket, reveals feathers.
I'm secretly a duck. That was my secret the entire time.
Yeah.
Anyway, moving on to other news. We had a couple bits of Tomb Raider news this week. So Tomb Raider 2, the sequel to the Alicia Vikander movie, is coming sometime soon here. And we got a director for that movie, Misha Green, who was one of the co-creators of Lovecraft Country. She's going to be directing Tomb Raider 2. I don't think there's any sort of like plot details or anything about Tomb Raider 2 yet, but Alicia Vikander's going to be back as Lara Croft.
That's fine. You know, I just she's still in shape to play Lara.
Hopefully they get like they do better with the villain, because that was the biggest sin of the first Tomb Raider movie, is they just wasted Walton Goggins.
Oh yeah, he was just like stress.
Yeah,
he wasn't really like a big villain. He was just like, I just want to get back out of this like Asian island.
Yeah, I'm stuck here. Like,
I don't like it. You don't like it.
Like, go raid this tomb. Well, I think they set it up at the end of the first one, so they would probably have to follow up on this. Hopefully, you'd imagine, but like they did set up like the evil organization from like Trinity from like the game series. So I'm sure they would probably factor into that, like the sequel, like they're like be going up against Trinity, who are always trying to like find artifacts to, like, rule the world or something. They wanted like any sort of like artifact they could find to let them like dominate the world.
Whatever their plan is, I don't know. Like, they ever addressed in the last few games?
Well, I know when like they were after something in 2. Like it was like some sort of, like there was something where like I can't remember. One of them was like it would like let them like. I think it was something with, like, free will or something. They would destroy people's free will or something, and, like, they would, like, let them, like, give them, like, control over everyone or something. Oh, no, like, so, the second, Shadow of the Tomb Raider, they were after, Rise of the Tomb Raider, they were after, like, something that would give them immortality. So they'd be like, oh, we'll make, like, immortal soldiers and, like, take over the world or whatever. And then Shadow of the Tomb Raider, they were after, like, it was, like, it's like, something that would, like, cause, like, the apocalypse, basically. And then they would, like, rule, like, they'd rule over, like, what was left or whatever.
I see. So, man, that's sort of a decent template for them to follow.
Yeah, it's basically just, like, this evil team of mercenaries that would just, like, led by, like, these, like, evil rich people who would just go around and try to, like, find these, like, super powerful artifacts that Lara had to stop them every time. I think there was stuff with, like, her mother or, like, her, like, stepmother was, like, part of it and, like, killed her father. So that could probably tie into stuff as well, so. And, and then the other bit of, actually speaking of the games, the other bit of Tomb Raider news is that Netflix is getting a Tomb Raider anime series that is in the universe of the game. So it's going to pick up, I think it's going to pick up after the trilogy and continue the adventures of Lara.
That's cool. At least that's like, it's different where it's like, okay, you know a lot of the setup. Here's the, here's like an actual sequel. So I like that idea. Mm-hmm. I'm surprised they don't do a lot of that.
And I don't think they said what animation studio is going to be doing this one.
Probably like a Japanese studio.
Yeah, because I think they only said that like Powerhouse is going to be doing Skull Island. I don't think they said who's going to do Tomb Raider yet, but. It will probably be in like it'll be probably in that I would imagine that style, like the like Netflix anime style now of like Castlevania or Blood of Zeus, or like they have, I think they also, they got an Assassin's Creed show coming, they got like Splinter Cell coming, they got like everything coming.
I forgot
coming,
about
so,
that.
Yeah. It's all American anime all the time on Netflix. So, yeah, so if you're a fan Tomb Raider, you got a bunch of stuff to look forward to in the next couple years here. And then moving on to, actually, more animated news. Game of Thrones is getting an animated prequel show. Actually, we don't know if it's a prequel show. They said an animated Game of Thrones show is coming to HBO Max / HBO. So this will be, they're back up to three new Game of Thrones shows. They got the House of Dragons Targaryen prequel show. They got Duncan Egg, which is like, I think it's going to be more of like a comedic, lighter Game of Thrones show that follows like, it's like set before, it's also a prequel, but it's, it follows like, there was like a Sir Duncan, who was like this like famous knight, and then like one of the Targaryens was like his squire, and they would just kind of go around and like have wacky adventures in Westeros.
Was he brought up a lot in the books or something?
I think George R. R. Martin like wrote, he's written like a couple like short stories around them, and like there's short story collections of Game of Thrones that are like split off in the main books, and like, he's done like a couple like Duck and Egg stories.
Let's see.
Yeah, I think from what I've read, they're way lighter and like more like funny than
tongue in cheek instead of like serious drama.
Yeah. And yeah, and then just this week they announced this animated show, which they haven't said where it's gonna line up in the timeline, or like what style it's going to be, but it's just going to be an adult leaning drama. And I think they have done a couple, like there's been a couple like short video, like on like the Game of Thrones like a YouTube channel, they've done a couple like they've done like these like history and lore like videos that are like animated, that kind of like so maybe they'll be in that style. There's one that was like told like the history of Westeros or something, but yeah, I guess some more Game of Thrones is on the way. Although that like Game of Thrones is basically vanished from like the cultural like discussion. Like everyone hated the final season. Like it's never been brought up since. Like it's almost like it never existed. Like it's just like.
Last season just destroyed the records.
Like it has no legacy. Like it's just like no one talks about it anymore. Like it's just like the final season that happened, and everyone's just like, well, let's all never talk about this again. But yeah, I mean, hopefully one of these shows is good and like kind of recaptures like the old Game of Thrones magic.
Yeah, the first three seasons were, at least season two and three were fun for me to watch.
Yeah.
First season's a little rough to get into, but once you're in, like, you're good.
Mm-hmm. And then also at HBO Max, like another fantasy series, apparently just talks about a Harry Potter show for HBO Max. So like somewhere in like the Harry Potter universe, like the show, like I don't think it would be like a like starring Harry Potter himself, but like somewhere in that timeline, it would be this new show.
It's just like Hogwarts through like other kids that nothing happened to them.
Like just uneventful Hogwarts years where it's just like, well, another school year, nothing happened.
This like kid showed up and like. Got the like dark arts teacher killed. Send more owl money.
Yeah. I wonder I wonder if they'd go even further back, like before like Fantastic Beasts, and just go into like the 1800s or something, or because like Fantastic Beasts is like what, the 20s or something, or the 30s?
40s. It's like, well, it might be the 20s or 40s. I actually didn't pay attention because it's like World War One, where it's like that's what Grindelmore is like betting on.
Okay, so then it's, so it's like 1917 or something, or 19, maybe, or is it maybe like. So, but I guess maybe like around, so like either early 20th century, I guess. But yeah, I mean, maybe like, yeah, go like, go, like before that or something, into like the 1800s or something.
I mean, maybe go back and it's actually like, when wizardry was more like, kind of like medieval.
Yeah.
And it's like the found, but then it's like, I think they did address the founding of Hogwarts, where it's like all the three wizards, or all the four wizards, they started their school.
Yeah.
I could see that, because there's like unofficial, there's a unofficial Russian Hogwarts movie that explains like Slytherin and Hufflepuff and all that. It is terrible. And I've seen like clips of it, and I've seen people talk about it, and it's just like unofficial. So they can't say certain words and stuff. And it's all in Russian, and the production value is just like on a shoestring budget. So there's a lot of heart, but it's just like, ugh, it's like, you would rather not make this movie. Mm-hmm. And so if they made that, like, that would be good. It's kind of like how The Witcher in Poland, they did make a Witcher TV show that is just like, it was okay for like Polish, like local TV, but the moment you try to bring it internationally, you're like, this does not hold up at all.
Yeah, so there's pretty much no details about, like I don't think HBO is even acknowledging that they're working on this. There's like no comment. So like someone at, like Variety or something, got heard something from someone, and then like, so like early, it's early development, so but yeah, that might be a like something for like the HBO Max streaming war battle. But speaking of streaming war stuff, a pretty major event happened early this week for the streaming war, like a big move by Peacock of all places. I guess they're like, Peacock is a player now because they have The Office exclusively now, so like that got them like a ton, like millions and millions of subscribers. But yeah, earlier this week it was announced that Peacock was going to become the exclusive home of WWE content.
Weird. It's like, didn't they just, their channel's only been around for like 4 years?
I think the WWE Network started in like 2004 or something.
Wow.
So it's been a while. I don't think it was doing that well, which is why this like deal happened. But yeah, I think they haven't officially said it, but like I think everyone assumes like WWE Network is gonna go away. And then Peacock is going to be, you have to subscribe to Peacock to get the WWE stuff. And this is all going to happen in March, like a late March. I think it's like March 28th is when this is going to happen. They said like in March they're going to reveal some like their plan for like how, like if you're already if you're currently subscribed to the WWE Network, like you're somehow something is going to transfer over to Peacock. They just haven't explained like what that is going to be. Yeah, and they also like, there's no addressing like, because Peacock has the free tier, the pay to unlock everything, but you still have ads tier, and then the pay to unlock everything and you have no ads tier.
Oh, so.
So huh. like the top tier of Peacock is cost the same as WWE Network. It'd be $10 a month. So you would imagine like if you're paying for WWE Network, they would give you like the top tier Peacock subscription, but like
who knows? You gotta do it again.
Yeah, and then also like if you pay the $4.99, do you still get everything with WWE Network, or is that WWE stuff only top tier Peacock?
Like, yeah, it's like a I don't know what to call it, like another like premium tier
Oh my god, you think they would like add like another tier above their top tier, like the WWE tier?
Well, it's like a rental thing. It's like, oh, you have access for like a day. You're like, what? I don't know. I'm trying to think, like, the Disney Plus ruined it all. Like, that bullshit of paying more when you already pay for the premium, pay for a service already.
Oh, okay. So it will be, I'm looking at an article on The Verge right now. But apparently, like, WWE stuff is going to be available in both the $4.99 and the $9.99 tier. So I guess. The cheaper tier would just have ads for like WWE stuff. So, and this will be where you get like the pay per views. So like this year's WrestleMania is gonna be on Peacock only, and also like which because that's in April. And then like I guess the first pay per view is gonna be WWE Fastlane in like the end of March, and then March 8th. All the WWE stuff is going to be on Peacock on March 18th. So, like, I believe it's pretty much all the content that was on WWE Network is going to be on Peacock. So it's like all the past pay-per-views, like all the old events, like all the exclusive shows, all that stuff would be on Peacock.
It's not too bad. It's I'm not a big wrestling fan anymore as like I used to be. So
yeah.
I can't like I can see like if you already have Peacock and you enjoy it, it's a nice bonus if you're in a household that likes to see it. Especially if like Comcast, but if you're like on some other cable provider, it's like is this a big purchase for you? It's just fueling more of the streaming war.
Yeah. I mean this If you get all the WWE stuff for like that cheaper tier, like the $5 tier, that might be worth $5 just to get that stuff.
Yeah, I can see that.
I mean, you have ads probably, but like, there's that's like a ton of like to watch like old like
wrestling
like,
matches,
old classic like 80s wrestling stuff. That's pretty much all I would watch like any of the like for like WWE stuff. I would just watch like Macho Man. Like matches or something, or like Ultimate Warrior matches or something.
That's the thing with like if you take a break from wrestling storylines for like a year, you're just completely lost, and you have to spend a lot of time catching up and reading things, and then you know, just like a soap opera, you have to figure out like who is who and like what has what relationship. If they had like a like feature where you can watch like highlight reels to get up to the speed, like if it's like real, like kind of like a oh, like watch these few matches just to get the story
thus far or something.
Yeah, like, yeah, that would be cool. Like, I don't know if it has it, but that would help me like recommend it more. It's like, oh yeah, just like you like this character, like here's his like highlight fight. So it's like watch this and you're get everything.
I think WWE Network I think has like you can go to like you can like as it is right now. I don't know if this is gonna like pull over to Peacock or anything, but like I think you can go like it has every superstar and you can like go on like you can like click on them and then it'll be like oh here's like they're like all their matches and like all their like whatever like I think that you can like sort it or like kind of like go through by superstar or something. I don't think it goes through like a package storyline for you, but I think you can like sort it out and kind of like just see like specific thing. Like I just want to see Macho Man. So, like give me everything with Macho Man. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, maybe this will be like a hub, like HBO Max has like their hubs of like DC and stuff. Maybe they'll add like a WWE hub on Peacock. We'll have to see in March how it gets integrated into Peacock. But March 18th, get ready for if you have WWE Network, you'll probably be switching over to Peacock, and if you have Peacock, get ready for some wrestling. So that's it for news this week. So why don't we jump into show and tell? And Chris, did you see anything over the last week or so here?
I did. I watched Motherless Brooklyn.
Okay.
The Edward Norton like vanity project.
Yeah, didn't he directed and starred. Did he also? I think he also like wrote. I think he directed, wrote, and starred in it.
Yeah, it's an updated. He Motherless Brooklyn is based on a novel that was written in like 1998, and he's been sitting on it for all this time, and he rewrote the script because he's a. And say what you will about Edward Norton, but he gets like how movies should be set up. Mm-hmm. And he's actually notorious for this, where he'll be on a movie and he'll try to like change things about a movie to make it like stick better. And yeah. It infuriates like other creative people. But I mean, that's why it's like, this is the movie he got to direct. And it's like, it's a coherent like neo-noir detective story, but that's because like the groundwork was laid out already from the novel. So what he did was make it more his own unique take by adding like the retro feel, because the original novel of All This Brooklyn is actually like in the 90s. Like it was a modern detective story, but mm-hmm. he decided that because it's a like it's got the attitude and the like writing of a 50s noir, he's just gonna make it a 50s noir. So he got like a lot of things to represent like 1950s New York, and it's pretty interesting because you could tell like it's kind of like it's jarring on the eyes, like something about the filter, something about just like some of the settings, like outdoor settings don't look right. It just it starts like bugging me when I watched it, because yeah, you can have like the clothes or like some of the decorations be the 50s. And it's limited. It's like they try to get everything nice and tight just because they don't want to have it like do a full conversion. So it's like a budget where they really try to reuse a lot of sets and reuse a lot of like, oh, like trying to make everything dark. You know, like it's just like, oh, that's just like, you know, it's a historical like street. And it's like, all right, I guess we'll use this as a backdrop. So it's about a detective. What's his name? They don't say his name once in a while. Hold on, let me look it up real quick. It's about a detective who is named Leon or Lionel. It depends on who's asking.
Lionel Esrog?
Yeah, Lionel Esrog. So Lionel is like nicknamed Motherless Brooklyn because he was like a orphan, and it's just like it's a mean ass nickname, just Motherless Brooklyn, because he's just like from Brooklyn and he's got Tourette's. But he's got like really good natural detective skills because he can just like he has photographic memory and he's really good at like just speaking to people. Like he's very charming, except for his full body Tourette's that he just like starts spewing out like. When he's emotional, like it like he just his inner voice is now his outer voice, or if it's like certain sounds trigger him. So it's like that part was pretty good. I think like Edward Norton wanted to do another like I want to showcase my acting skills, and it's like I have to like say like it was convincing, but it's distracting, and then. The movie makes a lot of the point to mention how it's not distracting, because like a lot of people who he's talking to are just like, hey, what's wrong with you? He's like, oh, it's sorry, I have a condition. So okay, like that happens a lot. So I guess in the book it translates a little bit more better, and it's like something that like makes the detective story more unique. Mm-hmm. But you know, it's like, okay, that's like that's not really a gimmick, but it's like It gets on to you. The part that I saw coming a mile away was Bruce Willis, because he's in it for like 5 minutes. He's just like, hey, all right, cool. I'm going to go get a coffee. It just leaves the movie.
they paid him his like $1 million or like whatever amount you pay him, and then he'll show up for like literally anything.
Yeah, yeah, and it's it feels that way. Like he just doesn't care. He's in this movie. Even when he's like shot and he's like hurt, he's just like, ugh, this sucks, right? It's like, come on, Bruce, act for your lunch. It's certain characters are really awesome. Like Alec Baldwin plays this like real estate mogul, and he's like trying to improve the city. He's got this like suave businessman, but then he's got like the like tyrant in him that just kind of like damn these people, they don't understand what I'm doing, like they'll understand. Like he's got that classic like noir rich business guy who is like two-faced, so that part was good. But then the person I totally forgot was in this movie, which I don't think they even mention it, I mean he's on the cover, but like William Dafoe's in it, and he's just bonkers. Like his performance is great. For me, he's like the character I'm like, yeah, like you need. He plays in the noir story, he plays the like the shady guy who knows too much, but he won't tell you all at once. So you have to like keep revisiting him to like reveal more. But it's like, if he just told the truth the first time, this would have been over. Like he holds so much of the information that at the end you're just like, William Dafoe had to just do this and we would have solved half the problems. But it's I guess I'll go on the plot. So basically Lionel worked with this private investigator who then taught like a whole bunch of his like group to like run a detective agency where like together as a team they are just like a whole private investigator group. But then when Bruce Willis is spoiler alert, like killed, like Edward Norton becomes like the head guy to lead the team, but not really, like because like the next guy in charge takes over, but then he just tells Edward Norton to do like everything. Like it's kind of weird because I was confused by like why isn't Lionel like the like you may the trailer made it seem like it was just a two-man group, but there's like five people and they don't really help. Like they just kind of like whatever the case goes on. It probably wasn't that good. Like, anyway, like, let's do the next case. It's just like, wait. Let's solve the case that killed, like, the leader of the group. Like, how is that not a priority? So, that's kind of, like, distracting. Like, they didn't really ease into that. Like, it plays later into the movie, but the rest of it is just Edward Norton just looking for clues, doing the classic gumshoeing. Intermittently, they'll do the whole Tourette's thing where it's like he'll be in a very tense situation. He'll start spewing out things, and it's like people are like, oh, check out this freak. And he's like, ah. And he's not like the conventional hero. In fact, he gets his ass kicked a lot in this movie. So it's a very, like, you know, sympathetic character. He's not like the typical hero, but it's acted pretty well. The one problem, though, and I feel like this is where they basically falls apart, is just the ending. It's overly complicated. Mm-hmm. And then, again, because it's so overly complicated and it's so, like, it's interwoven in a really bad way. And so it's distracting when you just realize, like, again, William Dafoe could just said something and, like, this whole movie would have been, like, you know what I mean? Like, this movie hinges on one thing. And once it's revealed, it's like, oh, this is like the mystery. This is like why this is happening. You're just like, that's it. And then at the end, they're like, yeah, it didn't matter anyway. And that's what's like more upsetting. It's like in the end, like, you know, I mean, like, not everyone gets a happy ending kind of ending. Like it's an okay ending, but it strayed differently from the book. So the book kind of ends on a whole like, you know, do the right thing, and what is the right thing, and you walk like this fine line of, you know, knowing the truth and then helping. Where in this, it's like, oh no, like in the end, like everyone kind of like gets something, and you're like, why? You're just like, because. You're like, okay. So like the bad, like there's no like epic standoff. There's no, like, police, like, helps the detective. It's just kind of like, I know the truth. Oh, you know the truth? Yeah. All right. Bye. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, it's one of those endings where, like, all the good guy did was just tell the bad guy, like, this is the truth. The bad guy, who already knows the truth, is like, you're right. So, that's what I'm like, what?
Mm-hmm.
So, it's a movie that definitely, like, put itself into a corner. They wanted to do a lot of set pieces that showed, like, how the times were in the 50s, and then you had all these interesting characters who sort of just, like, are one note. Except for, like, well, maybe Willem Dafoe. He's kind of, like, sporadic, so that's why I enjoy his performance. But Edward Norton, like, again, wasn't bad. Like, it's just, like, on paper, everything sounded good. It's just when you see it in action, it starts grinding on you. And then by the end, you're just like, this is what this is all about. Like, it's such a not a big reveal in a way. And then it's just like dumb. And I guess I'll spoil it a little bit, but it's like definitely Bruce Willis getting killed was like, yeah, that's exactly what would happen if you did this. Like, it's not like a shocker. So I definitely recommend it just to watch, like, this, like, I'm not sure if it's going to go down as, like, a lost classic or anything. It's definitely going to be, like, years from now that people are going to reexamine this movie. Because it didn't do awesome in the box office. Because definitely, like, there was very little marketing. Because I think they knew, like, it was risky to market this. But, you know, for how much they spent on it, $26 million on a budget, and they earned back like 18. Like, it's not a flop. It's just, it's a weird crowd. Like, neo noir movies that are very gimmicky are very, it's very hard to, like, push, because once you make Sin City, it's hard to go back to that. Like, that's like the level, like, some people grew up with, like, neo noir. It's just like it's calmer than Sin City, but I wish it was, like, going to go crazier. And, like, you kind of wanted to go Sin City levels of craziness by the end. But then again, it's like, oh, at least at the end of Sin City, like, the bad guy and the good guy in their confrontation, it's, like, violent, and it's very, like, you know, it does feel like a confrontation of, like, good versus evil. But in this, it's just more like, I know your secret. You know my secret. Good day. I don't know. If you see this, like, let me know too, because I feel like it's definitely mixed reviews. It's just like, people saw it. It's like, it's not bad. It's not great. It's definitely a movie that you see one time every few years, just like, okay, that's a good scene, or, you know, you appreciate. Like, it's definitely a filmmaker's movie.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's definitely aimed at someone trying to reproduce, like, a old classic movie. But then I'm like, just make the movie black and white. At least that helps me get in the mood better. Or that at least helps me with the scenery, because it's just, like, it's too bright for an old style movie sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I've been watching that. Been watching Alice in Borderland. It's 8 episodes, so I'm episode like 5, and it's gone straight into just like Hunger Games and Battle Royale territory.
Okay.
Like, it's straight far from the anime feel, and now it's just a straight up Saw movie. It's pretty good. Like, it's pretty good in the sense where it's like, if you want to see some crazy moral choices and some, like, punishing decision things that kind of, like, hurt your soul, because you're like, what, that would suck if you're in that situation. It does that job right. Like, it humanizes characters, and then it's like, well, now one of them has to die. Like, oh my god. So, it's like satisfying to watch, like, that suffering, but it's also like, you need to watch, like, a comedy right after. You can't just, like, watch an episode and, like, go to bed.
Yeah.
So that's why I watched right after that. I watched WandaVision.
Oh, episode 3?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
I guess we'll talk about that, right? Did you watch it?
We can.
Okay, we'll cross over. Yeah, WandaVision, episode 3, pretty good. It's like the 70s now, or the late 60s?
Yeah, I believe it's supposed to be like Brady Bunch style, so or like something in that like I think Brady Bunch was like the visual origin of that episode.
Like, it's definitely like a love letter to TV history, and yeah, more of a nod to Marvel fans that have watched everything up until now. Like, if you've been keeping track of everything and you've been taking notice of all the movies and carryover details, it's definitely a show that rewards longtime viewers. Mm-hmm. But God help you, this is like your second Marvel show or like your second like Marvel thing of the cinematic universe, because you're just gonna be boss.
I can't even imagine. It definitely like I think they're gonna get more into like the reveal at the end of the episode this week, but yeah, definitely like a pretty big reveal at the end of this episode, where like I guess we'll do spoilers, but so suppose for WandaVision episode 3, but like when Wanda like I don't know, like teleports or like sends like why am I always like blanking on the actual like her WandaVision like neighborhood name is Gwendolyn, but like the actual like Marvel character Monica Rambeau sends her out into like I guess the real world or the MCU world, I guess.
Yeah, it kicks her out.
Yeah, and there's like some sort of weird force field going on. Like, there's like, I guess it's. I mean, I think we'll find out this week. But I think it's Sword is set up like outside this force field or whatever's going on.
Whatever, like you know, Cloverfield Lane that they like.
Yeah.
Got kicked out of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I guess maybe the whole, this whole like neighborhood that they're in, or this town that they're in, is like inside this force field or something, or like maybe like Wanda is like creating the force field, or like I guess we'll find out more as the show goes on. But yeah, like yeah, but yeah, they definitely confirmed like there's like so like there's the outside MCU world is like there's something like weird. It's either another dimension or like some sort of dimensional rift or like. Yeah, something's weird happening in the MCU.
I'm wondering if Wanda is secretly the villain during this thing. Like, it's not actually someone controlling her. Like, her mind split, and now she's, like, going through a mental, like, recompile of her memories and
like,
her
like,
consciousness.
Like post-Endgame, like, just couldn't, like Vision's like everyone came back, Vision's still dead, so she's like flipped out and like lost her mind.
Yeah, or like, you know, she got really sad and then like her reality, her perception of reality shifted because her powers are based on
reality. Well, she also got snapped, right? So
oh, that's true.
So she was like, she was in like Vision died and then she was in limbo or whatever, wherever the hell everyone was. So it's like she lost Vision in 5 years of her life.
Damn.
And she also has like world-ending powers, so it's like, yeah. So she definitely could like that. Definitely is like a viable theory. Where just like she has like just created her own like pocket universe or something.
Yeah, I mean, maybe she could just make another Vision reality.
Because there are a ton of like references to like her past, like there's like the Strucker watch and there's like the Stark toaster and there's like they finally mentioned like Pietro in this episode 3. So
do you think they're going to touch across like what happened at Endgame or something, or are they just going to avoid that? We're basically just like, hey, where were you those 5 years? She's like, what?
Well, I mean, the major thing that happened to her was Infinity War, and then she just kind of showed up for the final battle at Endgame, and then...
I mean, so did Peter, because they don't... Again, even in Far From Home, you're just like, yeah, it's weird, right? Like, just, they shrugged off the five-year gap.
Oh, yeah, everyone in, like, Peter's, like circle of people are, like, they're, like, totally fine. They're just like, we got to repeat your school? Oh man.
Yeah, that's their biggest problem. It's just like, how are they not freaked out by this? How are they not going to therapy?
And then, like, Aunt May's biggest thing was, like, I stood up in someone's apartment. They thought I was his mistress. That was weird. Like... But yeah, I can definitely see, like, this is, like, all... Like, Wanda's doing all this. But there could also be, like... There could also be the weird, like, so, like, someone is control... Like, someone is, like... controlling them or like locking them in like whatever dimension or like thing they're in.
They have to, because it's like halfway through.
Well, I think there's going to be 9 episodes, so we're going to have episode 4 coming up this week. So we'll sort of be halfway through, or kind of be halfway through with like. Actually, if you're hearing this, like, episode 4 is up, so we're halfway through kind of basically right now, but yeah, did you see the promo for episode 4 at all? Because, like, there's definitely at least one, like, character from the MCU who's back.
No, I didn't see that yet. I've been very, like, good at just avoiding things.
Yeah, I won't spoil anything, but it looks like there's going to be at least some, like, quote-unquote real-world stuff in episode 4.
Finally addressing the long teases, because it's been teased, like, so much about what's happening, and...
Yeah.
I feel like it's meta now.
And I think the sitcom world might be in the 80s, possibly, now or something. But yeah, I guess we'll see. Maybe we can like we'll do like a weekly check in or something. Do it
because you can't really talk about much because like things happen, but then nothing happens really.
Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely no like Mandalorian or anything where like just like massive things happen every week. Yeah, it's definitely more of a slow burn, and you definitely have to be. Into like the sitcom side of things too, because like if you're not into like the sitcom things, then man, this is gonna be a rough show.
Oh yeah, yeah.
But yeah, as far as what I've been watching, so I definitely watched WandaVision episode 3. And then kind of the only other thing I saw this week or like this past week was Honest Thief, the Liam Neeson movie from October last year. Which, yes, like a solid Liam Neeson movie, Liam Neeson action movie, not up to the level like a Taken or something, but definitely better than some of the other ones that have come out. Definitely not like tons of action. Like it's kind of more of like a Liam Neeson like stalking movie because he kind of just is like sitting in his car like growling menacingly at like Jai Courtney, over the phone or something. But basically, the setup is that like Liam Neeson is this like super prolific bank robber, who has over his career he's stolen $9 million. But then he meets this woman who's played by Kate Walsh from like Umbrella Academy and Grey's Anatomy and stuff, and like he falls in love with her and he's like I'm gonna like turn myself in and give my money back and then. I'll go to jail, but then like at least I'll like my conscience will be clean. And then we can like our relationship will be like honest with each other. So he calls the FBI and he first gets Robert Patrick as the FBI agent and also Jeffrey Donovan, who is doing one of his classic bird nose accents. He's just doing a crazy Boston accent. Because this whole movie takes place in Boston, but yeah, they get the call first, but then they like kind of like pawn because they've got like a ton of like fake like oh I'm the they call him Liam Neeson like the In and Out Bandit. So they've got a ton of like fake In and Out Bandit confessions over the years. So the, like they're not really like we'll send these other two guys to go check it out for us. So they send Jai Courtney and they send Anthony Ramos. Anthony Ramos was in like Hamilton and stuff. But those two go and they meet with Liam Neeson and he's like, oh, you want proof? Like here's a key to my storage locker. You can go check the storage locker and they find like. I think they find like $3 million or something in there. So then, like Jai Courtney's like, "Well, we're stealing this."
Like, corrupt cops are doing this.
Yeah, like corrupt FBI agents. Yeah, Jai Courtney's in like full scumbag asshole mode in this, which is the best Jai Courtney mode. Like,
well, he was like that in Jack Reacher.
Yes, Jai Courtney should just be bad guys. That whole like horrible failed experiment of like making Jai Courtney like a leading man or like an action hero. That should be over. Like, just make him a bad guy. Because he's so douchey and evil in this movie, and he's pretty great. But yeah, he basically decides like we're gonna steal this money. We'll kill Liam Neeson, and then but then Liam Neeson is like, oh, that was only $3 million. I know where the other $6 million is if you want that. And then. So they're kind of in a standoff, and then like Robert Patrick shows up at like Liam Neeson's hotel room where he's been like waiting for the FBI to like get back to him, and then Jai Courtney murders Robert Patrick, and then Liam Neeson is framed for it. So basically, the rest of the movie is like Liam Neeson trying to clear his name, and then like trying to like get revenge on Jai Courtney and like stop him from like stealing all his money and like getting away with like the murder and everything. So basically, it's just like Liam Neeson, just like I'm coming for you, Jai Courtney.
I'm gonna like break my one rule.
I want to turn myself in. I want to be an honest thief.
Is it played more like a Taken movie, or is it surprisingly a comedy again, like Cold Pursuit?
It's not a Cold Pursuit. This has turned like Fargo or something. It's definitely more. It definitely leads more toward like the Taken vein, although but not nowhere near as much action as Taken or something. It's definitely more like there's a couple car chases that are pretty good, and there's like a couple fights, but like it's definitely a lot of just like Liam Neeson just like menacingly talking to people on the phone or like setting up like elaborate like traps. Like he's like one of his like along with being a bank robber, like one of his like backstory things, he's also like a demolitions expert from the Marine. So like he was like defusing like IEDs or something in the Marines.
Right, so that's why he's like, so skilled.
So, yeah, so he knows how to make explosives. Like that's like one of his like big like kind of like his ways to like get a, like try to like get back at Jai Courtney is like create bombs, like blow up his house and stuff. So it's all like Liam Neeson just on the phone being like, you want to get that money back? I'll give you the count of five. and then he blows up Jai Courtney's house. Like Jai Courtney, like jumps out of the car, like jumps out of his house. So it's kind of more like a cat and mouse thing, I guess, than like and like straight up like just crazy like action all the time movie. But it's fine if you want to see like Liam Neeson like like threaten people on the phone and like make bombs and stuff.
I mean, who's he trying to go besides like the corrupt agents? Is he trying to go after another guy to get the money or something?
Nope,
like
nope. It's Jai Courtney and his partner betrayed like. Stole the money and were trying to kill him, and they ruined like his like they ruined Liam Neeson's shot at like doing things the right way, and he knew he was gonna go to prison, but he was like planning on getting some sort of deal because he was gonna give back all every single dollar he stole because he never spent any of it. He's like kept it in like this like storage locker, so he was gonna give back all the money and then like go to jail for like. I think he's like hoping for like just a couple years or something and then be out, and then he'd like start his new life with his girlfriend Annie. but then like Jai Courtney stole that from him, so now it's just like, well, you stole my shot at like be like you're now everyone thinks I'm a murderer and you stole like $3 million from me, so now I'm gonna take I'm like you're mine now, Jai Courtney, like. And then Jeffrey Donovan, who was Robert Patrick's partner, is at first he's like, I'm gonna kill Liam Neeson, like he killed my partner, but then like he's the one who kind of like starts to realize like, oh, like Liam Neeson is not like like this like evil like murderer guy, and then like he starts to side with like Liam Neeson and be like, oh, if you turn yourself in, like I'll help you, or like give me proof that like Jack Courtney's bad, and I'll help you take him down.
Mm-hmm.
So so solidly Neeson movie, like nothing like not top tier like Neeson action, but like if you're looking for like a Liam Neeson, if you've seen all the other Liam Neeson movies. In recent years, like looking for like a new one, like it's worth checking out.
Okay, because it seemed like the movie just suffered from like COVID marketing, right? They're just like, we don't know when this movie's coming out, and it is just like, it's out.
Yeah, I mean it came out in October last year. Like it was number one at the box office, but whatever that means, because But yeah, it's better. It's definitely better than Taken 2 and 3. Definitely like, I don't know if it's better than like Nonstop or. it's probably in like the like Run All Night, like league. Like it's kind of in that wherever you want to like slot Run All Night. It's probably like. Somewhere in that like range.
Okay.
But yeah, that's pretty much all I saw over the last week or so. So we could probably wrap things up. Definitely head over to the site. We have our Lionheart commentary up right now on the site. You can go check that out. Sync up Lionheart on like Prime Video or wherever else you want to get. Lionheart, and then watch that along with us. Watch Jean-Claude Van Damme fight a bunch of people in like random locations, like a pool and a squash court. And then all of our stuff is up on the site as well, so head over, check all that stuff out on the site. And yeah, so for Chris, I'm Zach, and we will see you next week. For more Everything Action, head to www.everythingaction.com. You can also follow us on Twitter at EVAction. On Facebook by searching for Everything Action, and follow us on Instagram at everything.action. You can also subscribe and get more episodes on Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify.